Okay, B'siyata Tishmaya, we're here in Shari Chut Tzfat, Yer HaKodesh, and B'zat Hashem, we're going to be learning the weekly Parashah summary, Parashat Vayishlach. Very, very intense and interesting Parashah with a lot of events that happen. Very, very tense and action-packed Parashah that has many, many lessons for life. B'zat Hashem, B'siyata Tishmaya. We'll learn and get something out of this parasha to go into the Shabbat with all of the lights already downloaded, more of a connection towards the parasha, which is the root of all the bracha that comes down in the week. And also we're dealing here with the foundation of all of our nation. So Bezat Hashem, the Divrei Torah that will come out will be refuah shlema for all of Am Yisrael. Anybody that needs a Yeshua, Bezat Hashem, they will have exactly what it is that they need. וישלח יעקב מלאכים לפניו אל עשיו אחיו ארצה סיר שדה אדום. In this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu is coming back from living with Lavan, and he has to meet up with Esav. And now that he's coming closer and closer, he sends angels out so that they will be able to escort him while he's coming back into the land of Israel. And he's going to come across his brother, Esav. And he asked the angels to say, Im Lavan garti, ולא נעשיתי שר וחשוב אלא גר. The sod of Im Lavan garti, Rashi tells us, is that Yaakov Avinu is telling Esav, I lived with Lavan, and I was a ger there, I was a convert, a foreigner. I was never able to really become a minister or to become anything important. So the blessings of our father didn't exist on me, didn't happen to me. So you shouldn't be angry at me. Don't hate me for it. Another thing that he wanted to say is, Im Levan Garti is Gematria 613. Garti, with Levan I lived, the word lived is Garti and it's 613. Meaning that even when Yaakov was in an evil place, like Lavan's house, he still kept Tariag Mitzvot. And this is a big, big chizuk that we need. That even if we fall to dark places, if we can guard onto the Torah, hold onto the Torah, then even if Esav comes, even if the Yetzer Hara and the evil forces come against us, Im Lavan Garti V'Tariag Shamarti. I've already been in the dark places. I kept the whole entire Torah. Yaakov is now coming and telling his brother, I was with Lavan. You think you're tough? I was with our uncle, the most wicked person in the whole entire world, and I kept the whole entire Torah. You can't touch me. You cannot touch me. So yes, Esav is coming with 400 angels, 400 people to come fight. And Yaakov tells him, I kept the whole entire Torah when I was in Chutz Haaretz. I'm too strong for you. Don't even dare. Yaakov continues to tell the angels that they should tell Esav that he has shor v'chamor, he has flock and livestock and sheep, and he has slaves and he has servants. And his father blessed him that he would have from the dew of the heavens and from the fats of this earth. And all of these things are not from the heavens and earth. What do I have? I have regular livestock. And therefore I'm coming to tell you, and I'm asking, that I want to live with you in love. Yaakov is reaching out like the Jews always do, to make peace, to be in love, to not have any problems, from a place of humility, from a place of seeing himself as not really worthy of any greatness. The angels come back from Esav, and they tell him, just so you know, your brother still hates you. And not only does he hate you, he's on the way towards you with 400 people to fight you. The Baal Shem Tov says, what's 400? What is taf? 400 is always a number connected to the forces of evil, like the letter taf. And the Baal Shem Tov says, all we have in this world is aleph. All there is aleph. So Esav coming with 400, what is that? Aleph is alufo shel olam, the master of the universe. And that anytime we see aleph, we're reminded of a king, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem, the creator of the whole entire world. The second we get into bet, it's already two alephs. It's not really bet. There's no multiplicity. It's only bet because there was an aleph, so it's the second letter, but it's second aleph. And so on and so forth. You get to gimel, it's three alephs. The Baal Shem Tov says this is the case all the way when you get to 400. Taf. Taf is just 400 alfin, 400 alephs, coming to tell you that even if you find yourself in a place of concealment, just know that it's 400 layers covering over aleph, but it's still only aleph. It's always only Hashem. No matter how many concealments and no matter how many blocks you have over what you're trying to get and the finding the light of Hashem, it's just concealments. At the core, everything is just aleph. There is no such thing as taf. There is no such thing as taf. And when a person is in such a level of concealment, it's even fair to say that they have 400 times the amount of aleph that comes down to send them light and to illuminate their situation. So Yaakov hears this from the angels that he's coming with this amount of people. And Yaakov gets worried, gets scared. He says, maybe he's going to kill me. Maybe he's going to kill others. So Yaakov split up his camp into two. And he said in his heart, if Esav comes and attacks one of the camps, at least I'll have the second one to save me. Yaakov prepared himself in three different ways. First is that he sent gifts to Esav. He sent gifts. The second is that he prayed to Hashem to be saved from his brother. This is a famous prayer that we have. Atzilenia miyad achi miyad Esav. Please save me from my brother, from Esav. He's meant to be my brother, but he's acting like Esav. Save me, please, also that Esav doesn't become my brother. That Esav, the kochot atuma, the forces of evil, that they don't become close to me. That they don't become part of me. Yaakov sends out a prayer, sends out a tefillah, that all of these forces will stay away. Please, Hashem, save me. Please, Hashem, save me from these forces. And he says, you told me that I would be good. I'll come back here. The third thing that he does is, he prepares himself to war. And we have to learn from Yaakov. We have to try to make peace, try to go about it diplomatically. We have to pray to Hashem. And we have to be prepared for war. We have to be prepared that even if it has to come down here, we're going to fight. And in his prayer to Hashem, he says, Hashem, you promised me twice. The first time when I left my father's house, and the second time when I left Lavan's house, that you're going to protect me no matter where I go. And you told me to come back to my father's house, and that I'll have good. And now, Yaakov is saying maybe all this chesed that Hashem is doing, maybe I'm losing out on my zchuyot, maybe I'm losing out on my merits. Katonti mikol hachasadim. I'm too small for all of this love and for all of this kindness that Hashem is doing for me. When I left my father's house, I just left with a staff, without any money, without gold, right? He had nothing to pay for Rachel or for Leah. He came mamash with a staff, with clothes on his back. Didn't have slaves, didn't have flock. And now I have so much that I even split my camp into two. Therefore, Yaakov asks for Hashem to please save him, to please make sure that he shouldn't wipe out everything that Yaakov has gathered, and the mothers and the children. Hashem, please, you promised me that I'll come back and that you'll do good for me and for my offspring, and you'll increase my seed like the sand on the sea and like the stars in the sky. You won't be able to count them. That's our whole first aliyah. Yaakov now stays to sleep there, and he prepared gifts for his brother, and the brother and the gifts included 200 goats, female goats, 20 male goats, 200 female sheep, what are called rechalim. Rachel is like the word also for a female sheep, and 20 rams, male rams, 30 camels, 40 bulls, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. All of this he gave over to his servants, and he split them into separate adarim, what's called adarim, different herds. And he asked for his servants to send them in front of him, each a day ahead, so they should arrive a day before Yaakov. And Yaakov asked that there should be revach ben adarim, there should be a separation and a pause in between each gift, right? Yaakov is going to send over gifts, and that each one should come little by little, so that Esav is really able to appreciate each time that he gets it, and he'll see, wow, what a gift. And then all of a sudden another one will show up, and wow, how much is he sending me? And this is also a lesson for us to learn. If I'm not mistaken, it's Rabbi Natan of Bresa that says this, or if not Rabbi Nachman, that this revach ben adarim, that even when we experience hardships, we have to deal with Esav, and we have to deal with the hardships that we're going through in our life, Hashem in His mercy sends waves. It comes in waves. It doesn't come all at once. That these hardships that we experience, we get a little bit of breathing room in between each one of them. And we know this. If you really contemplate on your life, there's the saying, when it rains, it pours. And that might be true, that it's coming down, and there's a lot of hardships coming down. But if you really pay attention, Hashem gives you room to breathe in between each one. Obviously, this is all coming to lift us up and to purify us and to rectify us and bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it were to come all at once, we wouldn't really be able to hold it. Therefore, we have to be grateful to Hashem that even our hardships, in His mercy, He splits them up and gives space in between them. And Yaakov commands his servants, and he says, when Yaakov asks you, when Esav sees you and he asks you, where are you coming from? Who do you belong to? Where are you going? Who sent you? Who's all these gifts for? You should answer him, Shalach oti Yaakov. Yaakov sent me, your brother, and this is a gift to my master Esav. Yaakov is coming behind us. That's what he tells his servants to say when Esav asks you, who are you? Yaakov sent me. These are gifts for you. And Yaakov's on his way behind us. So too, the second and the third, all of the messengers, they all had the same thing that they have to say. So Yaakov had hope that all of the anger and all of the hatred and all of the grudges that Esav kept would be done, because after gift after gift after gift, the excitement of your twin brother coming back, by the time he gets back, he'll be softened up. At that night, Yaakov didn't go sleep in his tent. He went and he slept in the camp, because he thought that Esav would come in the middle of the night and to break out in battle with him. In the middle of the night, Yaakov takes two of his women, and Rachel and Leah, and the two maidservants, Bilhah and Zilpah, and he takes his 11 children and all of his property, and he takes it to the second side of a river bank, and the river was called Yabok. Yabok, Yud Bet Kuf. This is also the letters Baki. Reb Nachman says a person that wants to do tshuva has to be Baki Baratzo, Baki Bashov. You have to know how to run and you have to know how to return. You have to know how to ascend. David HaMelech says, if I reach up to the highest heavens, Shamata, you're still far over there, Hashem. And if I make my bed in hell, Ineka, you're right here. Reb Nachman wanted to teach us that while we're growing, if a person really wants to tshuva, they have to know when you're growing and you're going at it, Hashem is still far away. Stay humble. Still a lot to go. Keep going, keep running, but you haven't achieved anything. There's still much, much, much more to go. But if you find yourself in a low place and you need to come back to Hashem, you have to, first things first, know that if you've made your bed in hell, Hashem is here. When you're growing and you're running, Hashem is over there. When you've fallen down, you have to know Hashem is right there. This is a tool that can pick you up no matter what. It's also Yichudim, Bracha, and Kiddusha. Yichudim, Brit, and Kiddusha. These are holy practices of sanctification and blessing of Hashem, and guarding ourselves in order to tap in to the sanctity that we need. So Yaakov takes his whole entire family and moves them over to the other side of the river. And after Yaakov puts everybody on one side of the river, he goes back onto the other side of the river for a few things that he had forgotten. Amongst the things that he had forgotten was these small jars. and inside of them was the oil. The oil that he had poured originally on the matzevah in Betel, that oil was guarded, and that oil came originally from the leaf, the branch of an olive tree that the dove of Noach found, the Yonah of Noach found when he went out of the Teva, out of the ark. Out of that was made olive oil. That olive oil came down in inheritance to Yaakov at this point. Yaakov forgets these tools and vessels on the other side of the river and he wants to go back to get them. This is also teachings the rabbis tell us that the tzaddikim, chaviv alem mamonam kegufam, their mamon, their possessions, the things that Hashem gives them, that they possess in this world, it's dear to them like their own body, like their own soul. Hashem gave you something in this world, you have to appreciate it, you have to take care of it, you can't just leave it, you can't just give up on it. Even for small items, small jars, they were precious to him, they belonged to him, he didn't have much. He wanted to make sure that he kept everything that Hashem gave him. And when he was alone by himself on the other side of the river, then an angel came in the image of a man and started to wrestle with him. Chazal say that this was the ministering angel of Esav. This is the ministering angel of Esav, which is another way of saying the Samech Mem, the Satan, all of the forces of opposition that we have inside of us. And they started to wrestle and fight until dawn. They're wrestling and fighting until dawn. There's many secrets included in here. And in this battle, in this wrestling match, the angel wasn't able to hit Yaakov. He wasn't really able to fight Yaakov. And therefore he gave him a hit on his leg. On his leg. And that's why we can't eat Gidon Asher. Gidon Asher, I don't know what it's called in English, but it's a sinew or part of the body in the back, a nerve that we have in the back of the leg, where Yaakov was hit, and from that day on he started to limp. And when it comes the time of dawn, the angel tells Yaakov, I have to go back, I have to go up. And Yaakov tells him, I'm not letting you go of you until you give me a blessing. Give me all the blessings that my father wanted to bless me. And Esav, my brother, is making claims against me, trying to appeal the decision. Give me all of those blessings now from you, from an angel. The angel asks Yaakov for his name, and he answers him, Yaakov. And the angel tells him, "Hamalach lo yikere shimcha Yaakov min shabrachot ba'u alecha ba'akeva." Your name should not be named Yaakov anymore. Yaakov is a word of kind of like akevav, of trickery. And that's how you got the blessings. That's what people are going to say. Rather, your name should be Israel, from the word they came with srara, with fighting, with power. You achieve these with Hashem shining His countenance on you and giving you a blessing. And you fought with an angel and you lived amongst people like Esav and Lavan, and you always came out on top. You always fought against the opposing forces. You always went against Yetzara. You always tried to sanctify yourself and come closer into the service of Hashem. And therefore, Odalo ala brachot. Therefore, the angel admitted, these are the reasons that you get all the blessings, because you really did fight. You fought against Yetzara, against angels, against opposing forces in the world, and even amongst people that were trying to pull you against the ways of Hashem. Therefore, you've earned these blessings. Yaakov asks the angel for his name, and he answers him that he doesn't have a set name, that his name changes all the time according to what he's being sent to do. This too, for us, we have to know, what is the name of a person? What is the name of Hashem? Name depends on how we show up in the world. For some people, we're father, some people, we're brother, some people, we're son, some people, we're teacher, some people, we're student. We have many different shemot, we have many different ways that we show up. Our true essence is above all of those, like Hashem's as well. We say Hashem because that's the name, that's the revelation. But we're talking to Hashem Yitbarach, we're talking to the Creator of the world, blessed be He, that's above all. Yaakov gives a blessing to this angel. And that's the end of the second parasha, the second aliyah, sorry. Now to get into the third, Yaakov calls this place that they had the battle, Peniel. peni el pnei el, the face of God or the inner aspects of God, because he saw panim el panim et malach Hashem. He saw face to face the angel of Hashem, and his soul was saved. And from within that fight with the angel, Yaakov got a limp, like we said. And the sun came up and healed him. From here, the sun is a healing agent. And therefore, the Torah, like we said before, tells us we're not allowed to eat gidan Hashem, which is on the thigh of the animal, since the angel hit that place on Yaakov. There's those that say that this is a punishment because some of the sons, should have known to go with their father and not to leave him alone, and should have kept the mitzvah of kibud avim. Yaakov lifts his eyes up and he sees that Esav and his 400 people are with him, and he understands that it's not exactly that Esav is so happy with these gifts. And Yaakov immediately separates his family, and he puts Bilhah and Zilpah and their children first, the first ones that Esav would see. He puts Leah and her children in the middle, and he puts Rachel and Yosef at the back. And Yaakov was at the head, because true leaders always lead their troops into battle. And he said in his heart, if you'll come to fight me right now, let me be the first one. Let me be the first one. The father at the head of the family. If anybody's going to come, let's go at it. Yaakov itpalel Hashem v'ishtachava le'Esav. Yaakov prays to Hashem and he bows down to Esav 7 times until he got up to him. And all of a sudden, when Esav sees that Yaakov is bowing down, Esav did break down. Esav did break down. He got emotional. He ran towards Yaakov. He hugged him. And each one fell on the neck of the other. And they cried. Esav lifts up his eyes. And he sees all of these children. And the women. And he asks Yaakov, who are all of these? Who are all of these? Who are these people? And Yaakov says, these are my children that Hashem has blessed me with. Rabbis also say that Yaakov, even though they hugged like that, Esav was trying to kill him. And he really, instead of kissing his neck, he was trying to bite his neck. And they say that Yaakov's neck became like iron and broke all of his teeth. Zat Hashem, that was the third aliyah. Fourth aliyah, the maidservants and their children go up and they bow down to Esav, and so too Leah and her children, and so too, when it comes now, the turn of Rachel and her children, Yosef goes out and he goes into the front. Unlike the rest of the tribes, Yosef does not want his mother to be seen by Esav. Rachel was Yafat Torah, she was very beautiful. And Yosef goes out first and bows down so that Esav won't be able to put eyes on his mother. And Esav says, who are all these people that brought me this gift? Yaakov says, these are my servants. And in order to find favor in your eyes, I sent you all of this. Esav says, Yesh li rav, I have a lot. I have a lot of property. And you keep all this by yourself. It's okay. Should it be for atzlacha, be for success. And this is where he admitted to all of the blessings. Chazal say that Esav says, Nah, I got it all. I have a lot. Yaakov asked from Esav to please receive all of the gifts, because I was able to see the face of an angel, and I'm able to see you, and see that you're forgiving me. Yaakov begs him, please take the gifts, because Hashem has blessed me. And Esav gets the appeasement and he takes it. And this is also an interesting lesson, that Esav says, I have rav, I have a lot, I don't need your stuff. And Yaakov says, I have it all, just take the gifts. In life too, we have to know, when you have a mindset of I have a lot, that means that there's still more that you don't have. When you can answer back and say, I have it all, Yesh li kol, I have everything. That's blessings. Everything I need, I have it. I don't need more than that. Esav is always in the mindset, I have a lot. I have a lot, but there's still more out there. When I have everything, then there's no more than I need, and there's no more than, there's nothing that I'm lacking. Esav asks from Yaakov that they should be able to go together. Let's live together. Yaakov says to Esav, you know, my children are, they're soft, they're weak. I have flock and livestock, and they like to walk slowly. And if we go quickly, they're going to die. Therefore, Yaakov asked from Esav, they should go ahead of him with a pace that's even so fast that they should separate from each other. Esav understands that there's no need to go together. So he goes to his ways. He goes to Seir, and Yaakov goes to his ways to Sukkot. And there he builds for himself a house, and he builds Sukkot for his flock and for his livestock. He calls the city that he rested in Sukkot. And after Yaakov is there for 18 months in Sukkot, he goes to Shechem. When he gets to Shechem, he's trying to travel to Shechem, and he gets to the city called Shalem, Yerushalayim. And he got healed there completely from the hit that he got from the angel. And he came there complete in his money. Even though he gave a gift to Esav, he wasn't lacking anything because he has everything. He was complete in his Torah that he learned even in the house of Lavan. And he gets to Shechem finally, and he buys a piece of land. Another acquisition that the Jewish people made in the land of Israel with money. He buys a field from the children of Chamor, the father of Shechem, in Mea Kesita. He paid Mea Kesita for it, 100 Kesita, which was a lot of money. And he builds there an altar. And on that altar, he prays to Hashem and gives gratitude to Hashem that he saved him from Lavan and from Esav, and he's back safe in the land of Israel. Fifth Aliyah, Yaakov has established now a tent, and he's living there outside of the city of Shechem. And Dinah, Yaakov's daughter, the daughter of Leah, the Chazal say that she's called the daughter of Leah and not of Yaakov, to not put the shame on Yaakov. Like her mother, Leah was Yatzanit, she would go out. So too, this daughter, Dinah, wanted to go out, and she wanted to go to the city in order to know the ways of the city and how they behave and their culture. Shechem, the son of Chamor, saw her, and he was like a minister, a prince in that land. And he took her, and he had his way with her, and took advantage of her, which was not the way of a daughter of Israel. And his soul fell in love with hers. And he tried to convince her that she should marry him. Shechem goes and asks from his father that he should take this, that he wants to take this girl for a wife. And Yaakov hears that Shechem defiled Dinah, his daughter, and that her brothers, all of the tribes, were in the field right now working, dealing with the flock and the livestock. And Yaakov didn't say anything until they came home. Chamor goes to ask Yaakov for Dinah, and when Yaakov's sons come back from the field and they heard what happened, they got so angry and they had so much pain that someone afflicted and put their hands on a Jewish woman, on their sister, their virgin sister, and they said, they can't do this. You can't do this to the daughter of the tzaddik of the generation, the holiest person in the world. But Chamor came to the children of Yaakov and talked to them and asked for them, for their sister, since his son Shechem really, really wanted their sister. And Chamor says that you guys can also marry our daughters, and we'll also marry, and we'll all be together, one big nation. You'll be able to sit here, and this whole entire land, you can do business, you can live here, you can shepherd your sheep here, you can do whatever you want, let's live together. Shechem asks this from Yaakov and from his sons, and he says, please forgive us that we that we defiled your honor and disrespected your family. And he says, whatever you guys tell us, we'll do. Whatever you tell us, we'll do. We want Shechem and Dinah to get married. And he says, you can put as much as you want in the ketubah. I'll give you as much as you want. Just whatever it is, just give us Dinah. So Yaakov's sons tell off Shechem and his father and on their acts, and they rebuke them and tell them how disgusting their acts were. And they answer them with wisdom. They're coming to mess with them, but in a wise way. They say, listen, we can't give our sister to get married to a person that doesn't have a covenant, that doesn't have a Brit Milah circumcision. What are they going to say? There's no fit man in the Jewish people. But if you want, if you do a circumcision, then we'll be able to have you guys married. But everyone, all the men in Shechem, your whole entire family, slaves, everybody has to do a circumcision. And then we'll be able to agree to let our sister, our daughter, go and get married with you. And then we'll be able to sit together. And if you don't do this, so then we're going to come and we're going to take Dinah and we're going to leave. Shechem and Hamor received the words. Shechem was so important in his father's house, he didn't take any time at all. He wanted Dinah. He wanted her very bad. So then straight away they came to the city gates and they spoke to all the people there in the city of Shechem. And they say, Yaakov and his sons that came to live amongst us, we have peace with them with a full, whole heart, and we want that they should sit with us and we'll make business with them and we'll get married to them. But they have one condition in order to forgive us, that's in condition that all of the men will do a Brit Milah like them, that will get circumcised just like them. Everybody there has awe and respect and fear for Shechem and Hamor, and they receive the words and they say, okay, we understand, let's make a compact with them, a covenant with them, and let's also do a Brit Milah. And it's known, whoever does a Brit Milah, especially at an older age, it hurts a lot, and it hurts specifically on the third day. So on the third day, Shimon and Levi, two tribes, they took advantage of this pain, this general pain that all of the men had, and they took their swords, they went inside the city in the most confident way, and they killed all of the men there. They even killed Shechem, they killed Hamor, they took Dinah, their sister, and they went back home. All of that they did without asking Yaakov anything. The sons did it on their own initiative. The rest of the children of Yaakov, they came inside the town and they looted and robbed the whole entire town as a nekama, as a vengeance for the fact that they defiled their sister. They took all of the flock of sheep, they took all of the cows, they took all of the money, they took the women, they took the children, and they kept them in captivity. Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, to his sons, right now my mind is not rested because I'm scared that people are going to come, the rest of the city, the rest of the nations here are going to come and fight us. And Shimon and Levi says, Abba, they said, Abba, don't be afraid. Everything that we killed them, it was all for a just reason. The rest of the nations won't be afraid of us. They're going to appreciate us. That we were saying, your daughter is not Hefker. You can't do whatever we want with our daughters. So this too is something that we need to learn. If the Jewish people gets affected and you have a just reason, you go at it. You go at it and you make a statement. Especially here in this region, because that's how the world works. People here only understand fear. And if people can walk inside of our country, into our land, and defile us, and rape and pillage, and there's not a proper response of total annihilation, so then no one would be afraid. No one would be afraid. And everything seems hefker. We can't have that happen. Hashem says to Yaakov to go up to Beit El and to sit there for a period of time and to prepare himself to build a mizbeach to Hashem, to say thank you to Hashem that he was revealed to him when he was running away from his brother Esav. Yaakov asks from his people in his house and all of his servants to clean themselves from any avodah zarah that they have in their hand. right? They went inside Shechem and they took statues, they took gold, they took everything that they could take, and the nations of the world turned their gold and their money and their wood and their stones into idols. So whatever of worth and value we have, but it's connected to Avodah Zarah, it's connected to false beliefs and false idols, you have to get rid of it. Change your clothing, purify everything from yourself, everything from idol worship, because me, Yaakov, he wants to go up to Beit El to build there a Mizbeach to Hashem, that Hashem answers me every single time that I'm in pain, every single time that I'm in trouble, and he escorts me through all of the places that I have to go through, all of the dark places. Hashem's always there for me. I want to say thank you. The children of Yaakov give inside of his hand all of the Avodah Zarah that they collected and they took from Shechem, and Yaakov takes it and he puts it underneath a barren tree that doesn't make any fruit. He buries it underneath there. Yaakov and his children, they go out of Shechem, which is a fortified city. And they had a fear that a city with the walls like that, that the neighboring towns would come and come at them. But Hashem made a miracle, and all of the nations that were around were very, very fearful. And they didn't come after Yaakov and his children. Yaakov and his children, they get to Beit El. And that's where Hashem was revealed in an intense way. You could feel it. And Hashem and Yaakov builds a mizbeach, an altar, to pray to Hashem. And he calls the place Beit El, because there, that's where he saw in the dream that there was the angels ascending and descending on the ladder when he was running away from Esav, his brother. And this is where Dvorah passes away. Dvorah was the meneket, the nurse of Rivka, the mother of Yaakov, right? She was the wet nurse, that's what they call them. So Yaakov grew up with this woman. She came with Rivka from Betuel's house to Yitzchak, and they've been together this whole entire time, and now she's coming and passing away. And this was a hint. This was a hint. She gets buried underneath Beit El, and this was a hint. They say that Yaakov should know that his mother's time is coming as well. So now Yaakov is mourning his mother. Hashem reveals himself to Yaakov and blesses him and consoles him that he has, essentially he's visiting a mourner. Hashem comes like he did with Abraham and did Bikur Cholim. So here he's doing Nichum Avelim, consoling of the mourners. And Hashem says to Yaakov, your name is already established and it's strong. And right now I want your name to be Israel, that you're going to rule over all of the dwellers of Canaan, of the Eretz of Canaan, and that way you'll be able to overcome anybody that's coming against you. Hashem blesses Yaakov that he shall be fruitful and multiply, and that he'll have a great nation that comes out of him. And the kings that rule the world will come out of your loins. The rulers of the world will come out of Yaakov, of Israel. There's big sodot, big secrets in there. Sixth Aliyah, Hashem promises Yaakov and his children, the whole land of Israel, that he promised to Avram and to Yitzchak. And here is where the Shekhinah now ascends from up above Yaakov. Yaakov builds a mateva, an altar from stone, and he pours on it wine and afterwards oil. And he's essentially now inaugurating what we're going to do later in the Beit HaMikdash. Yaakov calls this place Beit El. They go out of Beit El after this, and they had a long, long path to get to Ephrat. And there, Rachel, she wanted to give birth, but she had a hard time giving birth. And her midwife was consoling her on all of the hardships, and she was telling her, this is a son. When Yosef was born, you asked for another son. This is a son. Hashem answered your prayers. And she's trying to tell her this as she's passing away. And as the baby comes out, Rachel feels that she's about to die, and she gives him a name, Ben Oni, meaning the son of my affliction, the son of my pain. That in her pain she had to give birth to such a kid. And Yaakov calls him Binyamin. Binyamin, meaning son of my days. Ben Skunim, the son of when I was old already. Rachel dies, and she's buried on the way to Ephrat, which is called Bethlehem, Bethlehem. Yaakov builds a tomb there for her, and that's what's called Matzevat Kvurat Rachel, Kever Rachel. Until this day, it's in the same place. Moshe Montefiore built a whole entire renovation there. It's the same place. Yaakov continues on his place, on his path, and he goes to a place called Migdal Eder. And Chazal say that in the future, Mashiach will be revealed in this place. Yaakov takes his bed that was always in the bed of Rachel, and he now establishes it and puts it inside the tent of Bilah, which is the maidservant of Rachel. Reuven, who was the son of Leah, was coming and trying to defend the honor of his mother. And he goes inside the tent and he takes Yaakov's bed and he moves it to the tent of Leah. Yaakov gets very angry at Reuven for doing that. And he thinks that he went off the derech and went onto a bad path. But even though that's the case, that he went off, and at least Yaakov thinks he went off, when Yaakov names all of his children, the 12 children, he counts Reuven inside that list. So it's a sign that he did tshuva. And here the Torah names all of the children of Yaakov. The children of Leah were Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Issachar, Zvulun. The children of Rachel, Yosef, and Binyamin. Bilhah's sons, who is the maidservant of Rachel, were Dan and Naphtali. The children of Zilpah, the maidservant of Leah, were Gad and Asher. And the Torah emphasizes that even in the heavens, they agreed that Reuven is the Bechor. He's the firstborn because he did Tshuva. And Tshuva reaches up until the heavenly throne. Yaakov comes to Yitzhak, his father, to Kiryat Arba and Hebron. That's where Avram and Yitzhak were living. Yitzhak passes away at the age of 188. And he's gathered into his people, an old man, Zva Yamim, satiated days filled with Torah mitzvot. And his children, Yaakov and Esav, buried him there in Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron. So you say Yaakov and Esav come together again to bury Yitzchak. After that, the Torah names all of the Torah has named all of the children of Yaakov. From here until the end of this parasha, mentions all of the children of Esav that are called Edom. All of the children of Esav are called Edom. And the women are also mentioned. The first is Ada, the daughter of Elon, that was born from her one son and six grandchildren. The second is Aholivama, the daughter of Anna, that she had three sons. The third was Bosmat, she's the daughter of Ishmael, and from her was one son and four grandchildren. Yaakov and Esav lived very, very close until their families grew. And when they grew too much, and the flock and all the possessions were too much, there was not enough place there. So Esav gets up and he goes and he moves completely his whole entire center of his life into Har Seir, the Mount of Seir, which is Edom. And the Torah now mentions all of the children of Esav. And the Torah also mentions the people of the city of the area of Seir before Esav got there to live with them. And then later the Torah is going to mention 8 different kings that came out of Esav. Chazal tells us that 8 kings came out of Esav in correspondence to the 8 times that Yaakov called Esav Adoni, my master. There's a lot of backlash that Yaakov gets for other times he bowed down to Esav and for the times that he called him Adoni, my master, my master. And you see that this comes back later with the sons, that Yosef calls Yaakov a slave, and the boys call Yosef a master, and also there's a problem, and Yosef loses from some of his years. The fact of the calling the hierarchy from a bad name. So Yaakov was on top, and not Esav. And the fact that you bowed down to him and called him Adoni, my master, and all of these things, with the levels that the tribes were on and Yaakov was on, this was a blemish. This was a blemish, even though he was trying to save his life. So he bowed down to him and called him my master 8 times. So he had 8 kings that came out of him when he came. Therefore, we have to watch our mouths. We have to watch our mouths. But on the other hand, we have to know that also that Yaakov also brought into the world 8 kings that ruled in the land and nullified the Malchut of Esav. Bezat Hashem, at the end, the Torah mentions all of the 11 champions, masters, chiefs that came out of Esav, and every single aluf, every chief is called on his nation's name. Bezat Hashem Yitbarach, there's many lessons that we can learn from here. Some we mentioned, some we didn't. Of course, the Torah is infinite. One thing's for sure we have to know, Hashem is with us. We're a strong nation, and we have nothing to fear if we're guarding the Torah. And even if the Yetzer Hara does come against us and wants to make more war with us, we have to know, like Yaakov, our father, to split our camp into two. Rabbi Natan of Breslov says on this that splitting the camp into two is the secret of knowing that even if I get attacked and I'm having a hard time spiritually, I'm not going to fall completely. I'm not going to let myself fall completely. I'll never let the forces of evil come and overtake me and to twist my mind to a point where I lose all of my connection to Hashem. At least split the camp up and know that something has to get saved. I have to stay a Jew, I have to stay connected, I have to stay passionate with my connection to Hashem, and I can't lose it all in once. So yeah, we have hard times, and we go through a lot of hardships in our lives. But Hashem is with us. And if we have that consciousness, then we don't get scared, we don't get startled. And we can, like Yaakov Avinu, come back into the land of Israel, the place of consciousness, and establish a life here so big and so fruitful when I multiply that even Esav has to move away from me. He has to go to a different place. Bezat Hashem, Atzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Please Hashem, may He save us from Esav, from this person, this power, these forces, these negative energies in the world, and people in the world that try to appear like a chi, like they're our brothers, but really they're Esav. May Hashem protect us from all of that and give us Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. May we know that we're not Yaakov, we are Israel. We're not coming from a low place. Li Rosh, I have a head, I have a connection to Hashem, and that's all that matters. Bezat Hashem, Shabbat, Shalom, u'mevorach.